Now, this morning I thought to meditate on the conventional nature of the mind. As you know, the definition of mind is the mere continuum of clarity and awareness. So, in general, clarity refers to the fact that whenever we're aware of something, then awareness takes the aspect of the object of which we are aware. For example, if we're looking at a flower, then the light and the shape are the appearance of the light and the shape of the colours of the flower strike the retina, and then they're completely transform that information into nervous impulses which go to the brain, and as a result of the interaction of the input coming from the optic nerve and the optical area of the brain, we become aware of a flower. So our eye consciousness is actually taking the aspect of the flower. We think, no, there's the external flower out there, and there's me, or my mind, and the object are totally independent, totally separate. We don't realize that the very appearance of the flower in our mind, in our eye consciousness, and the awareness of flower, that is eye consciousness. That is the clarity aspect of mind, taking the aspect of the object, right? Awareness, the second defining factor of mind, is the very knowledge, the awareness of the flower. And then there's the feed, the input from the eye consciousness to the mental consciousness, which then labels the flower as a rose or a tulip or whatever it is, and also labels the colours. The eye consciousness doesn't label, it simply knows the visual objects appearing. So there are two things: the defining characteristic of mind, clarity and awareness. The clarity is the mind taking the aspect of the object, and awareness of the object itself, which is divided into the fundamental sensory awareness, which doesn't have any labelling, even application of knowledge of what type of flower it is. It's just the eye consciousness is simply aware of the shape and form of a flower. Then there's this feedback happening with the mental consciousness. The eye consciousness reports to the mental consciousness, and then from past knowledge we're able to put a name on it and all sorts of associated factors, whether it's a bud or a fully open flower or a withering flower, and many different associated factors of knowledge are understood by the mental consciousness. So this continuity of clarity and awareness it has power. I mean, as Lama Thupi Nyesi used to say so often, mind is the most powerful entity in the entire universe. Mind created the universe. So we should try to have some respect for our mind, for our consciousness, and understand the potential that it has, either destructive potential or creative potential, depending upon how the mind uses itself. So I avoid saying how we use our mind, because there is no independent person separate from mind who is deciding what the mind will do or won't do. The mind itself, through knowledge and understanding, is able to change its apprehension. And this is the most important aspect of the Four Noble Truths, that the truth of the origin of suffering, karma and afflictions means that the mind is the source of all misery. It's also the source of all happiness. It is misery. It is happiness. And so karma and afflictions cause the mind to be disturbed, unhappy, and virtuous attitudes render the mind peaceful and happy. So that is where that's the fourth noble truth, the true path, is not just the wisdom, but the path of accumulation of virtue and merit, and the path of accumulation of wisdom. Then therein is the opportunity that we have to change our world. Difficult to change the world, the universal world experienced by everybody, yourself and others, but we can change our world, because, as we've already said, the clarity characteristic of mind or consciousness is our subjective world. That what we perceive, even with our senses, is affected by our state of mind. Not to mention mental consciousness, which has a profound influence on the way we experience and interpret phenomena, either in a negative sense or a positive sense. So therein is the opportunity to change our world. I attended a weekend seminar on conference on Buddhism in Sydney last weekend, and talking about transforming suffering into the path and happiness into the path. And during questions, a nun, I'm not quite sure what tradition she represented, her robes weren't standard, stood up and attacked me for saying that the source of all experiences is the mind itself. I'm sick of hearing everybody say, it's all in the mind. It's out there. There's the real thing. That's what we have to change. I mean, I didn't ask her if she'd ever heard of the Four Noble Truths, but there's this misconception, misunderstanding of the import of the definition of consciousness and mind. So this morning we're going to meditate on the clarity and awareness of mind. So we begin by focusing upon the sensation of the air entering and leaving the nostrils, right? So we are using tactile sense consciousness. The sensation, the tactile, very slight sense of touch as the air enters the nostrils and leaves the nostrils. So that's what we're focusing upon. That sense of touch of the air entering and leaving the nostrils. That's just the beginning. Just to reduce the disturbing thoughts. So whenever we start thinking, we're slipping into mental consciousness. We have totally lost attention on the tactile consciousness. So tell your mind, mental consciousness, backseat. Tactile consciousness, sensation of the air entering and leaving. Bring your mind back again and again and again, and focus your attention on that touch sensation and hold it there. Then, during the meditation, we'll let go of the tactile consciousness and we'll focus on the mental consciousness, the continuum of clarity and awareness, which is the sixth sense, if you like, the mental consciousness. So therein are all of our emotions, our constructive emotions, our destructive emotions, our knowledge, our memory, and so on. So it will take a long while before we can actually focus upon the clarity and awareness, which is the mind stream. So we have an idea, we have an intellectual idea of what clarity and awareness are. And we can use a little bit of analytical contemplation in the second part when we're focusing on mental consciousness. See, I am meditating on the defining characteristics of mind, clarity and awareness. Clarity takes the aspect of the object, awareness knows all about the object, not necessarily correct knowledge, it'd be incorrect knowledge. You know, we hate mosquitoes, so we think a mosquito, immediately mental consciousness projects enemy, bad, evil, nasty. So mosquito is seen in the light of the mental attitude. So during the second part, as we're watching the clarity and awareness, the continuum, remember it's a continuum, an unbroken continuum through time of clarity and awareness, just try to keep your thoughts still and experience your mind. And in the back of your experience, recognize the power that your mind has. So, you know, situations where somebody presses your button and your mental consciousness generates anger and that generates a nasty retort. You some words meant to hurt that person. It happens so quick. And the other person's hurt. Your happiness is destroyed. Their happiness is destroyed. And the consequences follow. And times when you have an impulse of kindness and love, and you say something very kind and loving to somebody, and very quickly how they can change. They may have been unhappy and miserable, and then their mind changes, your mind changes in a positive way. So by reflecting on your experience in life, you can see the potential that you have to control your world by controlling your mind. Recognize the most powerful phenomenon in the universe, your mind. Right. So, begin by generating your mind in a virtuous attitude to meditate, in order to understand my mind, in order to be able to initiate control over my mind, in order to become fully capable of helping others. And with that motivation, hold your entire attention on the sense of touch, the very light sensation of the air entering and leaving the nostrils with each breath, and maintain uninterrupted focus on the tactile consciousness. Now you can let go attention focused on the touch consciousness and observe your mind, the mental consciousness aspect, the continuum of clarity and awareness. That is the realm of all of our emotions, our knowledge, our memories, and so on. When no disturbing attitudes are manifest, the mental consciousness is naturally peaceful and still, the pleasant feeling. So observe the stream of awareness, your mental consciousness, imagining that you're experiencing its underlying natural state of stillness and peace. Bring to an end the image-making characteristic of thoughts. Simply focus on the image of stillness and peace, the continuum of clarity and awareness, aware of its great power, either destructive or constructive, to change your personal world and the minds of others. then think that throughout the day I will try to maintain mindfulness on my mental consciousness and consciously attempt to establish it in virtuous attitudes that haven't arisen, or to maintain and strengthen virtuous attitudes already arisen, and to avoid generating non-virtuous attitudes that haven't yet arisen, and to immediately apply the antidote and eliminate non-virtuous attitudes that have arisen. This mindfulness is essential for the happiness of both my mind and all those with whom I come in contact in my life. This is the best preparation for happy rebirth, to attain liberation and to attain enlightenment. This is the method. Then you can gradually relax and stop the meditation.